All right, take your Bibles, and we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. Acts 7 is where we'll be, a couple of verses there, and then we want to look at Hebrews chapter 11. Acts 7. This is Stephen's spirit-filled sermon, at which the end of it, they gnashed on him with their teeth. That's pretty gruesome. When you think about that, they don't preach about that too much. But Acts 7, this is under inspiration, Stephen says about Moses. In verse 22, the Bible says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds." And verse 23 says, "When he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel." All right, now you can just leave that go and look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. The Bible says, "By faith Moses," verse 24. "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." If I could begin by saying today, there came a day in Moses' life when he had to stand still to see that there was more for him than living in luxury. There came a day in his life when he had to stand still and see that there was more to life than living in the palace. More to life than living in luxury. And of course, that day was when he was a full 40 years old. A time when he should have definitely known. Right, definitely know some things. You know, when royalty does something significant, the media picks up on it, don't they? And back in 1936, none of us were here in 36, right? Brother Parker, what does his hat say, 1935? He's got a 35 model. This is 1936. He was 1 year old when this happened. He probably didn't even remember it. But in England, there was a fellow by the name of Edward. Edward the, I think he was the fifth, or excuse me, he was more than the fifth, he was the eighth. On January 20th of 1936, his father, King George the Fifth, died. And Edward went to the throne. Well, Edward was less than exemplary. He was a womanizer. And he began to hang around a woman who was married, actually. Now, the American press picked up on this, and it was all over the newspapers in 1936 here in the United States. But in England, the people in England didn't find out about it until December of the same year. And what happened was that he had an affair. It was widespread. The prime minister, who was Stanley Baldwin at the time, informed him that his subjects would not go for his getting married. You see, her name was Wallace Simpson. She was married, and Edward decided, well, when the marriage is disannulled, when she's divorced, then I'm going to marry her. Well, at that time in 1936, that was kind of taboo, especially with the Church of England. And so Baldwin, who was the prime minister at the time, said, if you do this, the people will not tolerate Willis as queen. Well, Baldwin then presented Edward with three choices. He said, give up the idea of getting married, or you can marry against the minister's wishes, or you could just abdicate the throne. Well, Edward picked the last one. He chose to abdicate the throne. And he fully abdicated on December the 10th, 1936, at Fort Belvedere. His younger brother, he had several brothers, his younger brother, Prince Albert, then became king. And Prince Albert had a daughter by the name of Princess Elizabeth. And Princess Elizabeth II became, as you've seen in the news lately, she is now the second longest reigning monarch in England. Queen Vicky was the first, or Victoria, excuse me. I call her Queen Vic. But she was the longest now, Queen Elizabeth II. You've seen that, haven't you? That's how that all happened. Because when royalty does something big, it hits the media. Now, if the media had been there in Moses' day, how do you think that would have been picked up? It would have been a prime time, you know, for several days in the news, wouldn't it? They would have talked about it. The talking heads would have said, oh, here, we knew this was going to happen. Slave blood, you know. He was adopted. That slave blood got into him. And that's why he just said, I don't want any part of this anymore. And that's why he walked out. You think about his adopted mother. Maybe she met that announcement with bitter tears or hot indignation. I mean, she had saved him from drowning, basically. You know, she had brought him into the house. She had treated him, given him the best education. The Bible says that he was well-trained in Egyptian education and everything else. He was a prime candidate to be the next king. And at 40 years old, he says, I'm done with it. I'm out of here. His announcement would have been a bad thing, I guess, for most people. And nobody in the palace would have guessed the strength of the purity of his purpose, which was born in his heart by God. It was a God thing. That's what it was. It was a faith thing. And the Bible says that he was in the prime of his life, 40 years old. Now, some people don't think of 40 as being prime, but it really is, all right? And you do some, thank you for that verification right there. So 40 was the prime of life. 40 was a time when he should have known definitely what he was going to do. And that's what he did. And so the Bible tells us, Stephen already tells us in Acts 7:22, that he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words, but also in deeds. Josephus talks about some things that he did militarily. Moses was a very intelligent, very well-trained young man. And so, in other words, he was well-trained, he was well-known, and well-respected. And if you're in royalty, that's the things that you want, especially if you're going to be the next king. And definitely this would be a slap in the face to everybody in the palace to say, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm out of here. Now, what prompted Moses' refusal? Why did he say, I don't want to be here anymore? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 tells us. It tells us the first two words, by what, class?
Faith.
By faith. That's what prompted his refusal. That's what prompted him to say, I don't want to be here anymore. It was faith. His faith in God's word is what prompted his refusals. Now, I want to note two things here this morning. First of all, I want us to think about the significance of his motivation. It was very significant in what he did here. It revealed his character. He had good character. He had really good character, not bad character. He had good character to choose the spiritual instead of the material. He had really good character. And he was you know, some people today are motivated by the wrong things. And we went through a class about our motivations, sacred motivations. What motivates you? Because all of us are motivated by something. Some people are motivated by money. Others are motivated by popularity or material things, or sometimes just vengeance, you know. They're motivated by something. But when we think about faith as a motivation, faith is a purifying thing. Faith purifies because it's a great motivation. It purifies our conduct. Other motivations can and do corrupt. Money corrupts. If I'm living for somebody else, that's going to corrupt me because I'm going to be a people pleaser. All right. But faith purifies our conduct because we know that we're accountable to God. All right. So, and faith also is when that's a person's motivation for serving God, you will see a person serving in the good times, but it'll also serve in the bad times when things are not so good. And I think Brother Parker, he kind of leaked that out a little bit in one of his sermons lately when he said, is the ministry all good and glamorous? It's not. It is not. There's some bad times in the ministry. But faith keeps going. Faith doesn't quit. And here's Moses, 40 years old, and he says, by faith, I'm leaving this to cast my lot with the people of God. So it was a significant motivation. Can I ask you this morning, what motivates you to do what you do? Is it faith? The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. So for all of us in this room, faith ought to be our motivator. And when it is, our conduct will be right. It will be right. And so in the final analysis, we want to be approved of God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We want His approval. And Moses said, my motivation for leaving is not people, it's God. That's why I made this choice. But the second thing, this is quite a surprise in his motivation. And the surprise is, people would not expect this from somebody who had spent the majority of his life in the palace. It's a surprise. What? You're leaving? Why are you doing this? So it's a surprise. And that tells us that his motivation was strongly based on faith. Now, Moses possessed this faith, and I think it all goes back to his early years. Now, I said last week, when he was weaned, 2 or 3 years old, but there's very good indication from some study that I've done, he may have been there till 5 in his real mom's home. And we know already with Amram and Jochebed, that home was a household of faith. Yeah, and we say, well, kids can't pick that up when they're that young. Oh, yes, they can. They really do. They can learn things faster than what we realize, you know. So he did pick that up there. He picked up something about faith. And the great lack of faith in our land today could be largely traced back to our homes. Is it no wonder that Satan fights so much against the Christian home? So faith is an importance. Now, I want us to look this morning at the things that Moses refused. This is the negative part of the lesson, all right? What did he refuse in leaving Egypt? First of all, he refused position. Position. In verse 24, the Bible says that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, to refuse this was to refuse a high position in the land. Now, some believe that Moses probably would have succeeded in the throne. And with him being mighty in word and deed, he would be a prime candidate to be the next Pharaoh. All right? So his achievements would have enhanced his position, but he refused it. He turned down worldly position. You know, worldly position is a hard thing to turn down, isn't it? You've heard this before. This statement before, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Hey, I want to get that job. Well, if you know, here, let me give you this contact, this guy's name. And if you drop that name, buddy, you've got the job. It's position, right? It's who you know. And definitely in his case, it was who he knew. He was in the right place at the right time. But Moses, having come to years when the position would have benefited him the most, refused it. Refused it. And we see here the nobility of his character again. It wasn't poor character. It was very good character is what he had. He had very good character. But not only did he refuse position, he refused popularity. Now, when you think about it, the rich and famous, we know the rich and famous love the limelight, don't they? The paparazzi taking their pictures, and you know, it is a big deal. And Moses came to years, he said, I don't want popularity. I don't care anything about popularity. As a matter of fact, he saw popularity was short-lived. For those of us who are older, think about the people in Hollywood that were popular when we were young. Got somebody in mind? Are they popular today? No, they're old. Some of them have died already, right? Short-lived. Somebody else rises up and they become the popular person of the day, right? Moses, like Brother Parker says to us, looked at the long view and said, this is pretty short. Because the fact of the matter is, people will probably love you today and they'll hate you tomorrow. Yes? Yeah, yeah, we love them and then, oh, no, 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 no. People are fickle. They change, don't they? And Moses saw that. Somehow he had the wisdom and the faith to see that this is pretty short when compared to eternity. And so when he viewed the future, he saw pain. But when he looked at beyond the palace, he saw the real pleasing God, the real pleasure. Pleasure for the now is short. Because when the pleasure's over, what do you get? You get the curse. You do wrong sowing, and it's no fun. Pleasures of sin are seasonal, right? They're just a short time, and then it's over, and the curse kicks in. When you follow the pleasures of sin, they're seasonal. But eternity, when you sow right, you reap right. And he wanted the blessing of God on his life. And he took the long view. He really did. So Paul reminds us of that in 2 Corinthians 4:18. I ran across this this week when I was reading Corinthians, and I had to stop and meditate on it a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. Well, even if you tie it in verse 17, it really helps here. The Bible says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now, here's what Moses looked at, the way we ought to look. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are," what class? Yep. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." See, if we're ever going to amount anything for God, we're going to have to refuse some things. We're going to have to refuse some temporal things to really grab onto those things that are eternal and that are lasting. You see, because if we go for the temporal, we'll eliminate some of the greatest blessings that God has for our life. And this is what Moses saw at 40 years old, probably before. It didn't just happen one day. Hey, I'm going to reject. No, no. It was building in his life. And some of the decisions that you and I make, they don't just happen. Some, maybe few, right? I'm going to refuse this. But it was building in his heart. So when he finally saw, I don't want this. I don't want popularity. I want God's pleasure. I want him to be pleased. And this is what he chose. So he refused position. He refused popularity. He refused pleasure. But he also refused possessions. Back in Hebrews 11:26, says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt." Now, I'm sure all of us, when we were in school, studied ancient Egypt. If you've seen any of the treasures of Tutankhamun, King Tut's tomb, all the gold, you can tell by that those pharaohs were pretty rich. And Moses is living in that house of luxury. And we all know that when that pharaoh dies, the next one inherits all that stuff, doesn't he? Plus, he's able to add to that the stuff that he gets from conquering. And let me say that the stuff that those pharaohs got was not by righteous means. I'm sure some of it was by unrighteous means. And Moses looked at that and said, there's a curse on that. It's not done righteously. That's not right. And so what he did is he refused the possessions. He refused the position. He refused the possessions. He refused the popularity. That's a pretty big thing when you think about it. We know that riches are not a curse in themselves, however. I mean, I thought about people in the Bible. Abraham was rich, wasn't he? Lydia, in the New Testament, she had servants in her house. She was rich in Philippi, but it didn't corrupt her. You see, people, we have to understand that riches are not bad, But it's the love of those things. It's those things that get their tentacles around our heart. That's the bad part. Because we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. We're to love that. And when those things take more of our thought than He has, it's an idol. It's covetousness. And it's wrong. And so Moses, when he came to years, he said, I don't want this ungodly righteousness because, and Peter hadn't even been written yet, he realized it doesn't last very long. Because kings enjoy it, and then they die. And then what? It's somebody else's. Solomon said that. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. We work so hard, we save up, we have all this land, and then we get old and can't enjoy it. And then we die and leave it to our kids. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. So Moses said, boy, by faith, I'm going to cast my lot with the people of God. Because there's more to life than this. There's eternity. And that's the way he looked. That was his perspective on life. So let's look at one other verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 8, the Bible says this, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. I think we discussed that before in here. But verse 9 says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Uh-oh. Can you see that there's no covetousness in Moses' heart? He didn't err from the faith, did he? And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But look at the next verse. But thou, man of God, flee these things and follow after eternal things. Righteousness, godliness, and look at that. Number 3, what is it? Faith. Follow after faith. Love, patience, and meekness. Those are the things that we're to follow after. I'll give you a little preview for the sermon today. It's about love. Brother Parker said, he said, I didn't realize there was so much in the Bible about love. That's where to follow after. There's a verse in Psalms that talks about God's right hand being full of righteousness. Full. And maybe even running out. Righteousness. You can't see those things, can you? But by faith, you say, that's the most important part. That's what I need to seek after. I need to grow in faith. I need to grow in righteousness. I need to grow in love. Can we all say that's important? It is. Because that's eternal stuff. That's what we're to follow after. And Moses, when he came to years, said, the most important possession that I can have is God. And all that He is, He's sufficient. And plus more. He never runs out. That's what I want. And I think that's what we need to look at in this day and age. Because the church in America, they're the sidestep of the boots. The church in America is wrapped up in materialism and the things of this life. And all of that. And we miss out on the greatest things. The greatest things. So what did Moses positively go for? Well, the first one is, back there in Hebrews 11, it says here that he chose rather to suffer affliction. Well, to the natural eye, that doesn't sound like a good thing, affliction, right? But he preferred to do right and suffer for doing right than to do wrong and get pleasure. So he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. You see, choosing God in the short term would mean pain. Oh boy, when you think about Moses' life and all that he went through, it was pain, right? There were times in Moses' life when he said, these are your people. They're not my people. I didn't take them out of Egypt. You take care of them. There was a little pain associated with that. And there was pain when he refused Egypt too. There was a reproach. But there was affliction. And he chose that affliction
and serving God. Now, spiritually and materially, the world does not comprehend the need for suffering, do they?
Doesn't at all. Doesn't, the world doesn't want to suffer. Sometimes we even, well, I don't want to suffer.
But, you know, we view pain as bad and pleasure as good.
But can I ask you this, just by illustration? What if Christ had not suffered on the cross for us? What if he had not been afflicted for us? What if he had not gone through the pain? Would you have eternal life? Would I have eternal life? If he said, I'm not going to the cross, I'm not going to do it. You see, there are some good things about pain and suffering. And the Bible tells us that in the light of eternity, Moses said it would work for him a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what he saw. And we all know, because we looked at the New Testament on the Mount of Transfiguration, who was there with Jesus? Moses and Elijah. And what were they talking about? Christ's passion. That's what heaven was talking about. They were excited about that. And that is what motivated Moses when he was here. Christ, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the things in Egypt. So he said, I'm casting my lot with the people of God. If it means affliction, it's just short-lived. In light of eternity, like we've done before, here's your life, short. Here's eternity. It goes both ways. Eternity has no beginning, has no end. Because God has no beginning and no end. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And it just keeps going on and on. So if we'll endure affliction for a little bit with the people of God, we'll endure affliction for doing what's right, the pain. Hey, it works for you. You don't know how it works. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Wow, what a comparison. That's what Moses saw. And that's what we have to see by faith. By faith. But, you know, the other thing that he accepted by faith was he chose the abuse of Christ. Verse 26 there. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Oh, excuse me, verse 26, yes. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. The reproach of Christ. Oh, Moses did not know Christ like we know him. We know him far much better. Those Old Testament saints, they didn't totally see all of it, but he saw enough to say the reproach of Christ is better. And that word reproach means verbal insults. Verbally, it's abuse. He esteemed the abuse of being identified with Christ greater riches. He said that is what's the most important. You see, the treasures in Egypt were waiting for Moses to inherit, even to add to, but he refused to weigh himself down with all that junk. I don't want to do that. It's better to be with the people of God. It's better to suffer with them. And to follow Christ also involves a great deal of reproach in any age. I was reading about Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll summarize it. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so Paul said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. He says it, in reproaches. I take pleasure in it for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And that's what Moses had to do. And he didn't have as much light as what we have, as what Paul had. He said, this is what's most important, because when I'm weak, then I get more grace. I am strong. I'm strong in the strength of the Lord. So Moses perceived that the reproach of Christ was better than any honor the world could give him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Moses on the mount with Christ. And then think about eternity. When he is resurrected, he'll reign with him. But then he chose the rewards of heaven. The Bible says he had respect, you see, unto the recompense of the reward. He had no respect for the riches that he saw in Egypt. No respect whatsoever.
Now that's hard to imagine. Gold, silver, all the stuff in Egypt. Oh boy, most people would have respect for that. But he says he had no respect for that stuff. He had respect for for God's rewards, for spiritual rewards. So rather than have the fleshly rewards now, which are fleeting and passing, he said, I choose the spiritual rewards because they'll be forever. 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 It's hard for us to wrap our little pea brain minds around that, isn't it? Forever. Rewards forever. That eternal weight of glory forever. And there is such a thing as a judgment seat of Christ where we'll all give account for ourselves, what we've done in this life, whether it's good or whether it's evil. If it's good, it's done by faith, isn't it? If it's evil, it's done by flesh. And what happens to flesh? No profit. What happens? Burned up. Wood, hay, stubble. But those things for Christ, esteeming those things, what happens when it passes the consuming fire of God at the judgment seat of Christ? It lasts. And for that, you get reward. For that. So it's done by faith. It all goes back to faith again. Faith. So he patiently endured. Now, today when you talk about spiritual things to most people today, and you talk about eternity and all the stuff that God has for you and patiently enduring, like we've looked at in Hebrews, most people just say, oh yeah, that's nice, and click. Let me get back to my materialism. Let me get back to what I want to do. Let me get back to now. And they miss. They miss it. Can I challenge you? The things that are eternal are most important. Use what God gives you. Thank Him for it, but don't get so tied up with it. Look beyond. Look beyond. Patiently endure. Oh, that's one thing Americans don't know about, endurance. Endurance. Oh, I'll endure for a while, and then when it gets too hard, buddy, No, I'm not going that far. Don't ask me to go that far in my Christian life. Well, wait a minute. You forget there's a reward down there, and it's an eternal one. Moses endured. Abraham endured, and he got the promise. Endurance, endurance, endure. So the more carnal a church is, the more interested they are in physical and material stuff now. That's what they're interested in. Let me close with this illustration. We know that in history, the Scottish at one time were very interested in getting the gospel out to other parts of the world. And in the New Hebridean Islands, the New Hebrides Islands at that time, there were cannibals and things there. The Scots decided that's the people that need to be evangelized. So they sent two Scottish missionaries there. When those men arrived, they were killed and eaten by the cannibals. Well, how would you like that report to get back to the church? No. Brother Watson, would you like to go to the New Hebrides Islands? No. Nobody in church wanted to go because they knew if they went, you'd probably be eaten alive. Yeah, or not, but you'd be killed and eaten, all right? You'd become steak. You become the filet mignon. We're not doing that. But there was one young man in that church, and his name was John G. Patton. And he said, I'll go to the New Hebrides Islands. I'll go. And an elderly man in that church said, he said to him, if you go, he said, you'll be eaten by the cannibals. Patton said this, and he said it by faith. He said, I confess to you that if I can live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or by worms. And in the great day, my resurrection body will arise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Savior. After 15 years of fruitful, but I can also say if you've ever read his book, it was difficult years. The cannibals would steal from him and all that kind of stuff. But after 15 years, almost every cannibal on the island was saved. Serving God is not a guarantee of an easy life. It is no guarantee. Give your life to God, young people. You know, God will bless you. Oh, yeah. But the blessing may not be in this life. It may be later. Nate Saint, give your life to God. Hell, he did. And all those other guys, they died early. But that blood that was shed caused other people to stir up and go to the Akai Indians. And Jesus said this, He said, we're called to a life of service. And that service means giving up everything. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Moses, lap of luxury. Anything, wine, women, song, anything he wanted, money, whatever. By faith, he denied it. I don't want it. Because he esteemed Christ and serving Christ and casting his lot with God's people, greater riches. Moses, what do you say today? He'd say to you, stand still and see. Look. Look at my life. How about you? How about me? Well, we serve the Lord by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the great encouragement and sometimes a great rebuke when we look at Scripture and we find in our own lives a lack of faith. We know that faith pleases you. So may we be greater filled with faith. May we be men and women of faith so we can stand approved before you. And help us like Moses to take the long view of eternity and see that when all of this is faded and all of this life is gone and over, the only thing that will really, really last is what we did by faith for you. Give us wisdom like Moses had to make the right choices. In Jesus' name.